Hey, we're going to start real quick. I've invited Jacob up. Can you all just welcome him? Give him a clap. He's been on a really fun journey with the Lord. And so he's just going to share a quick testimony of what God's been doing in and through him.
All right. First of all, I want to thank Brother Andy, because when I first came to Revive the first week, I was depressed. I was not in a good place. And honest, at that time, I was ready to give up my life. But Brother Andy was like, man, just stay for worship. Just stay here. Of course, I didn't show up for another 7 weeks. But I knew everybody was praying in my group and knew Brother Andy was praying. But as I came back, I started seeing what God was doing. I was like, all right, God, here you go. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going all in. So I started going all in, started giving him my tithe, and started just obeying him, coming to church every Wednesday, every Tuesday, and every Sunday. And as I started obeying God and started giving him and surrendering my whole life to him, he started showing me things as we would get out from Revive. There was one day I was at work, and if there's people in here that have worked in manufacturing jobs with machines, we have this thing called lockout, tagout. So if you get behind a machine, you got to lock it out. So in case if somebody goes over there and starts and they don't know if you're behind there, you could get hurt. And there was just one day, I wouldn't do it for so long. And I was like, oh, nobody knows I'm back here. I'm the only one that runs this machine. So there's one day we got out of Revive, and I was going to go put the lock and leave the key. And God was like, see, that's why the enemy is able to get into your life, because you leave the key on the lock. Whenever I'm trying to spend time with you and trying to have that quality time with you, you leave that key on the lock to where he's able to interrupt our time. And it doesn't matter that nobody knew that I was behind that machine, but in my spiritual life, it was like, okay, that's why the enemy's been able to infiltrate my camp, because I'm not locking that key. I'm not locking out my flesh and saying, no, flesh, you can't have no part of me while I'm spending my time with my God. You're not allowed in here. It's only me. God speaks to us in spirit and truth. Don't speak to us through flesh. And I was like, all right, flesh, you're locked out for this time. So I can spend time with my God. And that's what the Holy Spirit showed me that day. And it's just like, it wasn't like in a mean way or a rude way, but he spoke to me peacefully. And I was given a card that day. There was actually a day whenever that had happened, I was given a card and it said peace on there. And I was just like, okay, God. So it's just crazy what God could do when you just fully surrender yourself to him. Even though you look like a fool to people out there, I've lost a couple friends because I've decided to go back and follow Jesus. And some of them don't hang out with me, but that's fine. Because I got the whole Revive family. I got New Life family. I got people that are going to build me up. So, that.
So good, so good. Jacob, I want you to stay up here for a second. If that's okay. Stay right here. We're going to do things a little bit different tonight. I already told Pastor Tim. But we're gonna let him speak because I want to honor his time. But it's going to be a little bit different. Is that okay, guys? I was praying beforehand, and I was reading in Luke 7. And it's a story that I think most of us are familiar with, right? A sinful woman forgiven. It's the woman of the alabaster jar, right? And I was reading it, and I was pressing in. And I wrote on the title of my journal tonight, Expert versus Surrendered. And see, what we have here is somebody who has surrendered and opened himself up to say, God, you know what? My mistakes are great, but your love covers my mistakes. And I was reading this, and I don't want us to get lost in getting comfortable on Tuesday nights. And this has been a challenge that I've been wrestling with for a while of, we didn't start Revive to be another education center. We started Revive to be an activation center to wake people up to walk into their true calling and walk in revival. The moment we start stepping into the idea of experts to be perfect, we've missed it. Because we should be surrendered vessels to be poured out, right? And so I'm reading this, and I want to read this because it just this story just has been waking me up. Don't get anywhere. I'm going to get to you in just a second. But it's this. It's one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, an expert, right? An expert on who God is, right? He was an expert, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask and anointed and standing behind him at his feet, weeping. Here's what I want you to do. I want you all to close your eyes. I want you to imagine yourself as this woman, walking into a stranger's house, barging in, and seeing Jesus sitting at the table. You have nothing to offer him. You don't even deserve to be in the room. But yet now you're standing in front of him. An alabaster flask of anointment is standing behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to weep at his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus says to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, from whom I canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And turning toward the woman, he said, Simon, do you see this woman? Entered your house. You gave me no water to wash my feet, but yet she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but who is forgiven little loves little. You see, Jesus in the story, right, in the parable of the debts, he canceled both debts. He paid the same price for the debts, but one had a larger amount of debt. You see, her sin was known. I love it. It said that her sin was known. It means it was on the outside of her. Everybody knew it. But yet the Pharisee's sins probably weren't known. And I don't want us to get lost in this idea that we can get comfortable in coming on a Sunday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, and we become experts and not lovers. We become experts and not lovers, and we lose the fact that sometimes we get caught up in other people's sin because they wear it on the outside, and yet we have our own stuff on the inside that we've yet to surrender. And if we are going to be people called to the city to usher in revival into the hearts of people, we need to see people as surrendered lovers, regardless of the sin they carry. But be completely surrendered to the love of God that flows through them, or through us into them. And I don't want us to lose that. And I think Jacob, like, I didn't know his testimony, which is what's so awesome about what the Lord does. I had this written tonight. I didn't know his testimony. I just know Lindsay had said, hey, Jacob's got a cool testimony. And yet he literally just testified to this very scripture. We have to be people that are just surrendered in intimacy and love with Jesus. And not to get caught up by hiding our stuff. Because guess what? He knows our stuff. I loved it. The Pharisee said, if he was a prophet, he would have known. He knows. But yet he's not overcome by it. He ushers it in because of the sacrifice and the surrender that she walked in. So I'm going to let them sing a little bit, but will you pray over us tonight? And then I want to start tonight off just real quick. Sorry, Pastor Tim. But I want to usher us into a moment of surrender. I feel like there's things that we just need to let go of. Whether you've been holding them on for years or decades, whether it's the smallest thing or the biggest thing, maybe it's a thing that is on the outside that everybody is aware of, or it's a thing that nobody knows because it's behind closed doors. We need to break up our alabaster boxes tonight. We can't wait for another week to go by, another day to go by, another sermon to come. We have to get rid of it now. So can we do that tonight for a little bit, and then we'll let Pastor Tim blow our socks off? Is that okay? Okay. Y'all just stand. Come on, stand. Put your hands out, ready to receive, ready to surrender. You got this.
Father God, I just come to you right now, Lord, that you just speak to us, and Lord, whatever Pastor Tim got, Lord, that he would be able to penetrate our spirits, Lord, and just it would go deep into the roots to where we'll be able to carry those on as we walk out of these doors and not just hear it once, but just live with it and just know that you are there, God. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for what you're doing in Revive, God, and that, Lord, you continue to make us better people, Lord, and just better disciples to go out there and share the love of God with people, Lord, and let us be slow to judge but quick to love. So Lord, I just thank you, God, that you just continue to work on all of our hearts and continue to work through us, God, and that people just see Jesus through us, and they'll just see the Holy Spirit working through us, God, that Lord, that they would want what we have, Lord, as they see us walking through, if it's in the grocery store, at our job, or wherever we go, God, that, Lord, that they'll be able to see it and that they'll want it. They'll come ask questions, Lord, or, Lord, it'll just sink into them, Lord, that they will just feel that love. It'll be so strong with your love, God. So, Lord, I just thank you, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stay standing for just a little bit longer.
Yours, I'll stand. So I'll stand. strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all, all to him my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Before the throne, I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. And when before the throne, I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. 'Cause Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Paid it all to him I owe. come, you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Be of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
We're going to stay in this for a little bit longer. There's just this intimacy that I feel like is drawing us in. There's this weightiness. There's this tangible just presence that is filling up this room. And it's pulling the stuff out that we're surrendering. I feel like there's even just another step. You know, in that story in Luke 8, it says that she busted in where Jesus was sitting. She busted in to where Jesus was sitting. Uninvited, she busted in where Jesus was reclining at the table. So here's the activation part of this. It's time to bust in. It's time to bust out of our seats. It's time to bust out of our aisle and surrender. And if that God's been wrestling with you this week or just this year or past hours, whatever it might be, and you feel like there's just still something that's just like keeping you in a space where you can't just bust free, man, let this be the night. So I'm going to open up just the altars. I'm not going to have anybody come and pray. I just want you to activate this surrender of intimacy on your own. And so as they go on to the, just keep doing that worthy of it all. I think that should, there's something on that. So as they get back into it, man, if you feel like there is just another like step you need to take, the altar is open. And my request is just get to your knees. Get to your knees, lay down, put yourself in a place of surrender. Because guess what? It's really hard to fight when you're on your knees. It's really, really hard to fight when you're on your knees. So that's what we're going to do.
Worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Here's my heart, Jesus. You're worthy of it all. Every breath that I breathe, you're worthy of it all. Every song that I sing, for from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you things. You deserve the glory. You can have it, whatever it looks like, whatever it looks like. Here's my yes. I know it's weak, but you can have it, whatever it looks like. Here's my yes. I know it's weak, but you can have it, whatever it looks like, whatever it looks like, 'cause it just takes one moment with you. It just takes one whisper from you. It just takes one breath that you breathe to change my everything. So here is everything. Here is my heart, here is my life, take it and use it for your glory, for your honor, for your name. So here's my of our hearts, fan it to flame. So breathe on the embers of our hearts, fan it to flame. Be pure, we wanna be spotless before you. I wanna look like my Abba Father. I wanna be pure, I wanna be spotless before you. I wanna look like my Abba Father. Refine
beautiful time. We're just going to seal this right now. You know, it's interesting about the alabaster box, the boxes. You can't pick it back up and glue it back together and put the oil back in. You've already poured it out. So when you get up from here, don't take your box with you. Don't take your box with you. The worst thing you could do is try to scoop up the scraps off the floor. No, leave it. They're His. You've poured it out. You've surrendered. You've offered yourself fully to everything He has and everything that He says He will be in your life. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for how You position Yourself in our lives, that You're not overcome by our situation. You're not taken back by our faults or our inefficiencies, Father, but You recline at the table fully who You are. So thank You, Father. Make this be a cornerstone marking moment in our walk with You. That we've laid it all out. We've in the midst of all of our stuff, Father, we became fully who we are and we laid it out at Your feet. And You give us this to go away. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wow. If you feel like you still need to lay down on the floor, because the Lord's telling you that, stay there. Tim will probably just pace over you. Thanks for being flexible with the Holy Spirit. I love it. Thanks, guys. You're awesome. So we're going to transition out of that. Hey, I'm excited about tonight because I love this man who's speaking to you. I love his leadership, his tenderness, his kindness, and it's just passion to see people walk in their fullness. And so it is an honor to have him tonight and as much as he wants. So we all stand and welcome Pastor Tim tonight.
Love you.
You need your notes?
Yeah, I'll get them. Hey, wow. I need you guys to come play for my kids when they can't sleep. I don't know how anybody's awake right now. Just like the thick presence of God. And somebody turn on... Am I up there to turn on lights? We need like bright lights, very bright, bright lights. Vibrant. Oh, there we are. Hey. Man, you guys are some powerful people. God's doing some powerful things in here. Mike, will you come share? Do you guys know Mike Kaiser? I just think God's still doing some stuff. And so Mike was just, when we were up here worshiping, before we were all up here laying down, the Holy Spirit said, just go ask Mike what's going on. And that's what's cool about the body is it's not that, I mean, we all get to hear from the Holy Spirit, but we get to hear from the Holy Spirit collectively too. And so we get to, God is always bringing us into communion with Him, and He's bringing us into communion with one another. If you're not experiencing that from God, then you're not experiencing the fullness yet. Like, He's bringing us in connection with Him, and He's bringing us in connection with one another. And there's something that your neighbor has that God's going to give you a gift through them. Yeah, so Mike's going to bring it.
Thank you. Sorry, I just want to change translations real quick.
theory. So at the beginning of the year, like so many, I always talk to the Lord and say, what's the word of the Lord? Thank you. Thank you. What's the word of the Lord? And a lot of times, I've just believed it was for me, for my kids, or, you know, as it's been said, me, my four, and no more. But what I feel like the Lord has grown me in over the last several years is, how can you take what's been given to you and enlarge that? So it's not just me, my four, and no more. So anyway, back to where I started. So at the beginning of this year, just really seeking the Lord about everything that's happening, everything that's going on. And he speaks to me in his word, right? The Bible says about itself, it's the more sure word. And so for me, he took me to 1 Samuel. I'm a big fan of the Old Testament. If you don't read your Old Testament, this is my plug. Read your Old Testament. It's a lot of great stuff in there. So I'm going to kind of read through this pretty quickly, because if I don't, it won't necessarily be clear. So when this is King David and his men, they're going back home after a battle. And so, this is cutting out. So on the third day, everybody say third day.
Third day.
That's right. How many times have we heard third day before, right? God can do a lot in third. So they found that the enemy, this is Mike's paraphrase. And they found that the enemy had made a raid, and they had struck the town where they were living, and they burned it with fire. And they had taken the women and all who were there, both great and small, captive. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. So let's pause right there. So they're off battling. They're off doing, and they come back, and they find, like, camps raided, their stuff is gone, everybody they know and love is gone. So David and his men came to the town, and behold, it was burned. Their wives, sons, and daughters were taken captive. And then David and his men with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. Does that sound like anybody's 2020 or 2021? And so keep in mind, let's pause here. These are mighty warriors. I mean, if you read further in the Old Testament, these are men that go and kill. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. So these are mighty warriors. They go down into pits and they kill lions. They one of them can kill 600. So this is the elite of the elite. These are the baddest of the bad. And they're exhausted in tears. Man. So David was also, and so they're wanting to kill him too. They're like, hey, you're our leader. You said, God said, go do this, and we went and did it, and we came back, and now look what happened. Yeah. Somebody criticized me. I went out and did this. I'm preaching now. I went out and did this. I went out and did that, and now they think weird of me. I became a Christian. I don't have the friends I used to have anymore, right? So I feel like stuff's getting stolen from me. So David, as a leader, let's see what God has to say about this. So here's the good news. David inquired of the Lord, should I pursue these people? Can I overtake them? Can we get them back? And the good news is God said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now that's a good word right there. You can take that, recover all. Yeah. So David went with them in the 600, and they pursued. Long story, this is a much longer story, but he pursued. Not everybody could make it. There's 200 of the 600 that ran out of gas because they've been fighting. Now they're off and they're exhausted. They've been bawling their eyes out. And the Bible says they were just so exhausted from even crying. That's what their last couple of days have been like. So now there's 200 that can't even go, that can't even make it. So he's down even more. But God, the short of it is, God's with them. They go and recapture everybody, right? They get it all back plus some. So, right, they get it all back plus some. Everybody say they get it all back plus some. Right? And so he comes back, and, you know, along the way, does it take faith to do any of this? Right? Did it take faith for them to leave their town and leave their, right? It took faith to do that. Okay. Without faith, it's impossible. When they got back and they see their burned city and everybody's wanting to kill everybody, does it take faith to say, okay, let's see what God has to say about this? Does it have faith to get up and go? Yeah, it sure does. Sure does. So I believe that applies to a lot of us in a lot of ways. Maybe you haven't lost someone. Maybe you haven't had a devastating loss. Maybe you've had some setbacks. But I just felt like I feel like the Lord saying that 2021 is not over. And what looks maybe what dream may be burnt out. What health situation maybe you're facing. The Lord was just wants you to know that 2021 is not over. And if you will rise in faith and pursue, you can get it all back and then some.
Pursue. Change the name of Revive to Pursue.
30.
Say what?
First Samuel 30.
That's a good word, Mike. You guys got your notes open? We're just going to do a Bible study tonight. You guys are in the middle of the Why Not Me series. This is like a big deal to me. You guys have been enjoying time with Kyle?
Yeah.
Tell you what. More than once, God's used Kyle to reveal himself to me. Hebrews 11:1, we're going to go through faith. And we could have a fun little journey here, because on the way here, you ever have you think you have your stuff together and then God gives you something else? That's when I'm glad I got a couple Bibles. So I can just hear God and then see God and then continue to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. I think if you're serving in kids, you might be able to get some of the greatest, deepest revelations serving in kids. You know, we all come to church, we all want to hear the preacher, but sometimes we just hear the words spoken in the most simple way. It gives you room for the Holy Spirit to speak alongside of it, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's teaching you. He's the best teacher. So some of you guys, you know, we have it backwards sometimes, where we think, no, we're coming to church to receive, and really we do the best receiving while we're serving. I like being in here. It's a little different mood. You guys are waking up. Hey, there's a word for somebody, and I didn't really press in to see who it was, because I just think that maybe it's a little bit private, but there's somebody or somebodies in here that feel like they hit a brick wall when they're worshiping God. And it's like, man, I want that kneel down. But my heart, my emotions, whatever it is, like, it's not like it, and you've experienced it yourself before, but you're, right now, it's not like you're connecting. And honestly, like, and even as Mike was sharing that, I feel like the Lord's saying, pursue, do it again. And even tonight, like, before you go to bed, shift what you do, your habits, and put worship on, and just try again, and you're going to see those walls are going to break down. Because he'll do it for you. It's not about what you can do for him. It's about what he'll do for you. And he knows your heart to have that connection. And you've been distant. And he's gonna bring that. He's going to bring it to you. Faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith's the funny thing. Our faith. Faith itself. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why Not Me is a series of engaging God and say, hey, I see who you are, and I see what you do, and why not me? Why not in my life? Yeah. What faith isn't is faith is not striving, performing, doing crazy things to win God's approval. The rest of the world may think you're in faith, but sometimes we do crazy things, or we do big acts to show that we're doing this for your approval. But it's the opposite of what faith is. Faith knows that you have the approval of God and acts because of it. Let's read in Romans chapter 4. Can you guys turn there? Oh, there's a whole lot here. and not being weak in faith. I'm reading out of the New King James right now. And not being weak in faith, this is verse 19. It's talking about Abraham. It says, Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. The deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced, this is where the New King James starts to sound a little bit like the Passion Translation. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, God was also able to perform. And therefore, sometimes we stop there, but I think the sweetest thing is this. And therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. It says, and therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham, God spoke to Abraham. He said, I'm gonna move you from here to a place, and I'll tell you about it later, but I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And he said, he didn't argue with God. How's that possible? How's that? He took God at his word, and he acted on God, even when he didn't know the details of God's plan. Yeah. And that, considering who God is, faith is this. It's looking at God and saying, you are who you say you are, and I am who you say I am, and so you, why not me? Yeah. Why not me is essentially this concept that pleases God so much when you say, God, you did it this way, and the way you see me, I see how you see me. See, Abraham didn't say, hey, well, you know, how many of us are like, yeah, I don't know if I'm good enough to get there. I hear what you're saying, but I keep screwing it up. I hear what you're saying, but I don't have that gifting. I hear what you're saying, God, but I don't have the gift to have babies at 100 years old. And I know Sarah doesn't have the gift to have babies at 100 years old. But what Abraham did was he didn't consider the facts of the situation. He just took God at his word, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. I believe the very first act of faith is righteousness. Well, you see, we want to see faith move mountains. We want to see faith heal the sick. What God is so desperately wanting you to see is he wants you to see that faith has made you righteous. Good. That through Jesus, he now says who you are. Good. And so our faith that pleases God is recognizing who he is. God, it doesn't please him just that you know who he is, just that you sing songs about who he is. But when you know him so well and believe his word so well that you believe it for yourself and you say, Jesus, I believe that what you did was more than enough to cover what I've done and what I'll do, and the separation gap that should be so large isn't existent. You guys, this is faith. You see, we want to apply our faith to somebody's broken arm, but you can't apply. I don't believe that you can. That's a miracle. If you can see somebody's broken arm get healed, but you haven't yet received your righteousness, that's the grace of God and a miracle working through God. That's not faith. Faith is when you believe who God is, believe who you are, who he's made you to be, and you believe that he'll do it through you. I believe it takes those three. It's not, do you understand? God will do miracles, and he'll do miracles through you, and then we'll try to repeat it. But the miracle, the biggest miracle he's done is he's destroyed separation between you and God. Yeah, that's good. And we have to receive that miracle by faith. By faith we can approach God. By faith. This is what the word says. Verse 21 says, faith believes, verse 21 says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Why not me? God, if you do it, if you said you'll do it, you'll do it. And if I believe that I am who you say I am, then you think I'm pretty unbelievable. You're not looking at me and like, I'm a struggling entrepreneur. You're not looking at me and saying, well, you're just too young. You're not looking at me and saying, well, you know, just 3 weeks ago, you were stuck in this sin and look at what you, not, look at how you broke the negativity fast already. You don't even show up on time for those revive groups. I can't use you. That's what we think about ourselves. Jesus isn't saying that over you. Jesus is saying it's more than enough. My blood poured out for you is more than enough to cover the gap, the divide between us and your promises, between you and me. And so we have no business going out and say to the blind guy and saying, hey, can I pray for you to be healed? If we won't believe God for our own righteousness. But the flip side of that is the moment you can believe God for who he is, God, I believe you're the creator of heaven and earth. I believe that you wrote this word. I believe that everything in it is for me, and it's for right now. I believe that you created me. You didn't just create creation, but you created me and placed me in such a time as this. I believe that the separation that I have through my sin, you've forgiven. You tossed it from the east to the west. You don't even remember my sin. You've given me a new identity. The old me is dead, and the new me is risen. And God, I believe that you love me so much that you've given me the gift of the Holy Spirit to live in me. And whatever we're going to go do today, it's going to change everything.
Good.
And that's the faith that pleases God. Now you're prepared to do whatever. What do you want to apply it to? You want to apply it to, hey, get up, go do it again. You want to apply it, Mike just released a word. You can apply it to that word. God, that word's for me. Why not me? Why don't, when I try it this time, it changes everything? Why don't, when I step out this time, doesn't matter in the past. See, we accuse God. That's where you got to believe God for who he is. Well, God, last time I tried that, it didn't work out very well. The last church I tried to do that at, they just did not receive it. Right? And then we build up offenses of God, offenses of his church. Man, you can't be offended by God, and you can't be offended by his bride. I dare you to come to me and tell me things about, like, Tiffany. I just dare you. We're not going to have a very long conversation. You're not going to attack my bride. You can go talk to her. You got an issue with her, you can talk to her. But I'm not going to have a. I'm not going to entertain a conversation. Why? Because she's my everything. On earth, she is me. She's who I'm in covenant relationship with. Well, God, if we'll badger his church. I have a hard time doing it. I have a hard time being in the company of people that are like, well, that's why that church fell. Man, there's so many reasons. There's so many things that happen. It's so easy for us to sit on the sideline and quarterback. But you know what? What's my business? My business is to believe God for who he says he is and believe God for who he says I am. And what I see about this is God loves the church.
Yeah.
Man, he's crazy zealous, and his hope is in the church aligning with the will of God and stepping into faith. And in that, the whole world's saved. God's still counting on you.
Good.
I'm not walking up and saying, the moment we start discounting the bride, we're hopeless. Because
yeah.
It's the vehicle in which hope will be distributed among the earth. So I've got to get my offense taken care of. I've got to, because why? Because my job is to know God for who he is, know myself as he knows, for who he says I am, and then I'm prepared for battle to do whatever the heck he calls us to do.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit says, what about that guy? I'm like, oh, it's on, because I believe you at your word. Not because I so badly want to see God do a mighty work, because if he did a mighty work, then this whole place would fall in revival. That's not faith. Faith isn't, God, if you do this, then something really awesome is going to happen. Something really awesome can happen whether that happens or not. That's not the faith. That's the pleading. That's the beggars. That's the servant. God, if you just give us that's not the way we pray.
No.
Well, God, if you just do this, then no. This is how we pray. God, this is who you are. Your word says that you're mighty. Your word says that you're able. Your word says that you're capable. Your word says that it's your desire to pour out your will onto all men. Your will is that none shall perish. Your will is that the word of God will not return void.
Yep.
Your word says we're righteous. And that righteousness isn't given to us by our acts. That righteousness is given to us by our faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This is point number one. The very first act of faith is righteousness. It's from Jesus. You believe that what Jesus did is more powerful than anything you've done, and it's clinched. It is removed separation. Then you're in a position where Gideon was in. Hey, he didn't say, hey, you sucker that's hanging. Don't you realize you're a child of God? He said, hey, mighty man of valor. What, me? The moment he believed God for who God was calling him to be, he was ready to be who God said he was.
Good.
Some of you guys have a call into ministry. Some of you guys have a call into business, and you're like, I just don't know if I'm going to succeed. Well, did God say it or not?
Good.
We're not looking at your track record.
Good.
Well, did you, I don't know, you didn't finish your homework at Revive, you're probably not qualified to do fivefold ministry. We'll discount ourselves like crazy. The word's not discounting you. The word's, God doesn't disqualify you, he qualifies you because of the work of Jesus. Faith is powerful and faith is expecting. I shared this with the staff today. The greatest display of faith I've seen recently is in my 8-year-old. My mom was in town, and my mom's a sucker. And she's got old habits. And even when I was a kid, she'd always try to get her Christmas shopping done really early, and I was game for it. Because how many know that if your parents buy you something in October, by December, it doesn't feel like they've shopped for you. So no matter what they bought for you in October, they've probably already given it to you, and they're going to give it to you again. They're going to go out shopping all over again. So my mom says, hey, Gracie, let's pull out this calendar or this catalog. They're starting to do catalogs again. We got an Amazon catalog. Our kids love it. And so they go through, and Gracie finds, she's all about this red panda. It's her favorite animal. She wants to go to the zoo all the time. Red panda, red panda. She wrote a whole report about it. And so she found a Build-A-Bear red panda, and my mom ordered it for her. And she's like, oh, I'm getting it for Christmas. And we're taking my mom to the airport. I said, Mom, do you want us to hold that until Christmas? Like, she's getting it on Monday. And she goes, no, it's a just because gift. She goes, she can have it now. We'll get her a different gift for Christmas. Gracie's eyes like, what? There's such thing as a just because gift? And but what's crazy is Gracie has possession of that just because gift already. She knows it's coming. She's not saying, well, you know, Amazon doesn't, you know, there's a porch robber out there and he's going to take my stuff. And, you know, that's sometimes we're like, well, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy me. Well, she's not looking at the track record of Amazon. She believes fully that the thing that has been ordered will be delivered, and it's just a matter of time, but she already owns it. She's moved on. She's on to like, hey, Tabor, what do you want to get me a just because gift with your $10? She's moved, but she's possessed it. It doesn't make any sense. She doesn't have it. She hasn't cuddled it. She's only seen a picture of it, a little glimpse of it. But that's what God gives us. And it's on the way. There's something coming. And faith is fully expectant that God will deliver. Gracie can't have, she doesn't get to have more faith in Amazon than we have in God. God will deliver the thing that he's promised. So we have to be those of strong faith that just say, okay, God, instead of being like, oh, I mean, let's just move on to what's next. And you know that's coming. Oh, man, that's going to be awesome. I know Mike's like, hey, it's not over. Why is he saying it's not over? Because God's promised him something this year, and he is determined he's going to see it. And not only that, but he's inviting it into your life. Let's not pull back. Let's not relent. Let's not sit here and sob and clean our wounds. When God has sent us out, he's going to deliver. And the strength that we have to pursue is in the journey that's in front of us. It's not back at home. It's in the walking it out. And so faith recognizes who God is. It recognizes who he's made us to be. And then it believes him at his word. How many of us want to be, I mean, honestly, like, if I was in Hebrews 11, I think I'd be like, well, and Tim, I gave him a word and he gave me 15 reasons why that wasn't going to work. Tim, he's stuck in false humility and was worried about what the rest of the world would think of the gift that I put on his life and so didn't use it fully. Sometimes we get in this place. Because Tim, looking for the approval of man, this is, and I'm, don't get me wrong, like, God, I'm good with God. These are all things, but if I'm not careful, I'm not speaking these over, I'm saying, if I'm not careful, the legacy that I'll leave would be Tim looking for the approval of man missed the mighty work of God.
Wow, that's good.
And all we need to do is look for, man, what God say in his word? There's so much in here already, but then there's Rhema word. God's saying to Jacob, he never said that word to me. That's a powerful word. Nobody else needs to talk after that word. That's good for the night. Why not me? Just tack that on and we'll call it an evening. Like, quit leaving the keys in the lock. Quit making it easy for the enemy to get in and mess our time up. Shut him out. Lock him out. Make sure you don't Man, that's powerful. God's given you that word. Now you cling on to it, and when you move through it, he's right there. We need to establish strong faith. Strong faith comes from hearing the word. You've heard the scripture. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes from the word and hearing the word of God. Strong faith comes from believing God's word. It's fully persuaded that God can and will do what he says. And strong faith brings victory. Faith produces expectation. Expectation produces joy. That joy produces strength. And that strength produces victory. I'm going to read to you Romans 4 again, but this time I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. I'll start. Oh, that's awesome. No way. Hey, Jovi, you can stay. You let your mom go. Jovi, you can come back in here. It's good. You know what? I had a pastor one time in California, our pastor when we were out there. We were a small church and didn't always have childcare. When babies were in the room, he'd just say, thank you. Thank you for choosing life. We're all responsible for that child. We got to quit being a culture that shuts out the best parts of life. I just say, I mean, I'm looking, Jovi's a miracle. And Jovi's not Dustin and Jealousy's miracle. Jovi's our miracle. So a lot of prayer went into that little girl. She can stay. Verse 19 says, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence. Only the Message Bible uses that. And say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah of her infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, actually asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promises and came up strong. He plunged into the promises and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. That's why it said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life. When the conditions were equally hopeless, the sacrifice Jesus made us, the sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, set us right with God. Man, we got to be those that go all in, that dive in. No, he didn't consider the circumstances. He didn't argue with God. He didn't tiptoe around, but he boldly went all in after the promise of God. We've got to believe it, not just act on it. Let's believe it. Now, this is where it's going to get fun. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to do that. You guys, I left today, and I went home to study a little bit, and I was like, yeah, I can leave. I'll just take one Bible with me. I feel so exposed when I only got part of my study with me. I'm like, oh, dang it. I want to know everything God's saying about it. I want to treasure his word because it was written for me for right now. It's a roadmap through COVID. It's a roadmap through whatever you're facing. It's a roadmap to recovery. There's a lot of good books written out there, but none better than this one. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. I'm going to go to verse 5. And you guys are on a journey with me because I haven't even read this part of Scripture today. This is literally on the way here. I was like, God, just show me something fresh. And he says this. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who's lying at home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. So this Roman soldier is talking to Jesus. And Jesus responded, I'll go and heal him. I'll go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve me. I can tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I order my servants and they do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do is stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. How many know if Jesus said he'd come into your house, you'd probably just be like, okay, I'll wait for you. You just finish up here and we'll just take a trip. And that's fine. You could do that. Jesus was astonished when he heard this. And he said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. And he goes on to say, listen, let me tell you, there will be those outside of Israel that know God and encounter God more than those who are in Israel. He's talking about those who would believe in Jesus versus those who wouldn't believe in Jesus. But that scripture is so powerful to me. Why? Because that man had the boldness. He had no right to even speak to the teacher. He had no right to encounter Jesus, just like the girl with the alabaster. She had no right to barge in there. But she was bold. Why? Because he's a good teacher. Because I believe who he is, and I believe it's good for me. I believe that it will redeem me. Well, what can happen? Well, if this guy believes so strongly that at his word he can command life and healing, there's the flip side of that is there's a little bit of fear. What if he doesn't judge me right because I'm not one of his people? This isn't the Gentile era. Jesus is pretty much laser focused on the people of Israel. And their oppressor, a man who's riding around oppressing God's people, looks at him and he's bold enough and he says, I know who you are and I know what you're capable of. And I know the authority that you walk in. And at your word, he believes God for who he is. He has the boldness to believe that he's worthy of receiving from God. And he says, no. You don't even have to come. I know that you can just do it right here, right now. I don't have to wait. Yeah. And it's Jesus. It's not us. You know, I'm not saying, man, this seems like the best miracle in the Bible. It's Jesus who says, this man and his faith, it's great. This is the greatest in Israel. That'd be like me saying, I'm trying to think, that would be like, think of whatever oppressor you guys are dealing with in 2021, and you're saying, ugh! And the way he approached Jesus is in line with what we should be doing. Yeah. And he's saying, you and all your religion and you and all your rituals and you're stuck not seeing me for who I am, but this man sees me for who I am and he understands the authority that we walk in and his faith is greater than all those in Israel. What's it going to take to see a miracle? What's it going to take to see a move of God? It's not pleading. It's not begging. It's firmly rooting ourselves in who God says he is, who he said we are, and acting upon his word. Holy Spirit says, hey, Mike's got a word. Some of you guys are going to get set free because of the word of Mike. But the best teaching you heard tonight for somebody in here is what Mike released.
Yeah, that's good.
We got to be obedient to whatever that's my faith. My faith says, hey, it's not about preparation. It's about what God's saying, what God's doing right now. And so this whole why not me thing is not about like, God, why not me for $1 million? Why not me for being the lead worshiper? Why not me for being like, it's not about that. It's saying, God, I believe you are capable of doing what you said you are. And that means right now, not one day when I clean myself up, I believe right now you've made me righteous. And I'm done living unrighteous. I'm done acting like I'm a slave and acting like I'm a servant. I'm one of your children. Chosen and approved by you, and at your word, I'll do whatever you say, and I'll go on this journey with you. Another scripture says that Abraham, it was accounted to him as righteousness because God invited him to go, and he got up and he went with God, even though he didn't know where God was taking him. God, I don't need to know the end results. I don't need to know how. I just need to know you got a promised land for me and I'm on this journey with you. Yeah. And I'm not stopping until I get there. And I'm not considering the giants that are in my way. Good. That's the church that will change Wichita. Yeah. That's the church that won't live in 2021 and say, I don't serve a God of 2021. I serve the creator of the universe. I don't serve a God that's like, well, yeah, let me get screwed it up pretty big. I don't know if I can overcome that. No, I serve a God who already has predestined before the beginning of time. I serve a God that right now, it's his desire. You go out there, I dare you to find somebody that God doesn't want in the kingdom. They do not exist. That's why it's not about flesh and blood. Because you can be angry about the people you're not voting for, But let me just tell you, God looks at them and says, son, daughter, you can be angry about the people that don't have policies like you, or the angry about the people. I'm just telling you, you can be angry about the guy who's torching your house. But you know what God says about that person? I've got righteousness in my storehouse for them, if they'll only believe. His love for us is so huge. It's so overwhelming. And what he's not asking for us to do, what will happen as a result of us having that first act of faith in righteousness, God, I receive that I am who you said I am. Man, the enemy has no foothold in you anymore. Because all the enemy can do is accuse the old man. And we spend way too much time agreeing with him. That's why some of you guys, who's just now in first year, like this is your second session? Just raise your hand like you're righteous. Raise your hand like you're righteous. You guys are getting ready. Andy's going to blow your mind in January when he does identity, because you're going to get into this righteousness, and it's going to, and literally, genuinely, you're going to be like, I am that? That's all I did in Bible school. They're like, Tim, you need to go to the third class. I'm like, I can't. I'm white from the second class because I'm that. I've been thinking this whole time I'm this, but I'm that. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. And in this new reality, it's like, man, all of a sudden it feels like I can fly. Well, I can. If he tells me I can, I can. Well, you can't fly. No, I can. If he tells me I can. You guys realize there was a time not too long ago where no one had ever been in the air? And somebody sat on the edge of a mountain and looked out and said, we belong out there. Well, that's impossible. That's for the birds only. That's just human wisdom. What can we do? It gets really weird. It's going to get really weird. Because everybody on earth is going to try to put you in a box. Come on. And let's get out of it. Let's quit helping them. God, we'll take that box if we can just put a bow on it. What we really want from God as religious Christians is the same box, just a little bit shinier. Wow. But what God wants is to blow the box away and say, you are what's in there. Good. Not what is the packaging is. The rest of the world wants you to be just like them, but God, all of heaven is applauding. Are you guys getting anything from this? Because I can wrap it up. All of heaven is applauding as you receive your righteousness. And Jesus said it to him, but guess what he's saying to you? Man, your faith. You believe you're my daughter. You believe you're my son. Your faith. It says without faith it's impossible to please him. What pleases God? The healing of the blind. He didn't seem all that impressed by it. Jesus wasn't out of his mind every time he did a healing. That was just who he is. But what blew his mind is when people recognized who he was and they were set free.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
What pleases God? Our faith in who he says he is and who he says we are. And then the byproduct is going to be we're going to touch people and they're going to get healed. And it's not even going to be a thing. It's not going to be this anxious thing inside of you that says, healing, this has got to happen, it's got to happen. Okay, we're going to follow steps. You're like, man, I forgot that class with Andy on the healing. I don't know, God, you say you want to do it, I'll just do it. How do you want to do it? I'm not worried about all the steps. You say you want to heal them? Today's their day? Jesus unlocked their faith and then healed their bodies so many times. Because Jesus, again, I don't think he was all that impressed. It wasn't his goal. Everybody thought, Jesus is going to come and he's going to liberate us from the Romans. And we're going to have our day again. He's going to redeem what we've screwed up since we put Saul in power. Jesus wasn't all that interested in it. He said, Jesus is going to heal. The Messiah is going to, you know what, he did that, but what was he more interested in? Redemption. And I'm a healing guy. I'm not downplaying healing. I'm saying it's not the high horizon. It's the byproduct. It says it's the children's food. Why? It's the byproduct of believing who we are in Christ. When I recognize him for who he is, and I recognize me for who he's made me to be, and I don't agree with the world anymore, then I'm like Abraham. And God's saying, oh, righteousness. Now this is what pleases him. Faith believes God's word. Faith speaks God's word. Anybody doing this? This is an incredible, like, if I was a church and we were doing, if I was in charge of a church and we were doing a series on faith called Why Not Me, I would make everybody go through this. And this would be their final exam. And I would ask that they would daily speak the promises and declare God's word over their life and quit agreeing with the world and quit messing with the quit discussing the mess. It doesn't matter. It's all going to fade away. What's not going to fade away? Us as eternal beings being eternally connected to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. This faith believes God's word, it speaks God's word, and then it does God's word. Yeah. And I'm not just talking about this. I love this. I love this. You can tell. You want to see anxiety in my life? Give me a revelation without the Bible close to me, and I don't have anywhere to write it down because I want to go back to that revelation. I'm like, hold on, God, hold on. I'm writing this down. Because I revere God's word, both spoken and written in my life so much. If I'm going to take notes from anybody, I'm going to take notes from the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you just take it for granted. You go back to sleep. You got to start putting a notebook next to your bed because what you hold close, you'll get more of. It's like, God, remember that word you gave me? Man, I want to be the one that has it in my pocket and pulls it out and says, is that word for now? No, it's not for now. Is it for now? It's not for now. Is it for now? Not yet. The word of God, as much as it's here, it's also here. And this is almost just foundational ammunition for the Holy Spirit. This is the language of the Holy Spirit. And when you know the word of the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember how Jesus did that? Because why? Because the Holy Spirit is affirming and confirming the word of God. But he's doing it in rhema ways that blows your mind. So if you don't know the word, he's telling you like, hey, remember this? Oh, you don't remember that. Oh, remember that? Oh, no, you sucker. I can't do anything with Fox News. I can't do anything with your cryptocurrency. You may be way into it, and that's great. If you've, like, gone from 4 cents to $4, and, like, that's great. But we've got to give preference to the word of God. So we believe the word of God, we speak the word of God, then we act on the word of God. What is the thief to our faith? The thief is unbelief. Doubt and unbelief rob us from the blessings of God. Unbelief overestimates its enemy and underestimates God. Kyle said this in week two. Two or three, I think it was two. Kyle said, either you have a big God and little problems, or you have little God and big problems. And I'm like, I mean, I've been chewing on that revelation for a long time. Because I'm like, God, there seems like there's some big problems out there. But what I know immediately from that revelation and I was sitting on it, it's like, whoa, wait, that means I'm not seeing you big in this picture. I'm seeing whatever it is. No. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to trust him with the rest. Yeah. Unbelief overestimates its enemy and underestimates God. Doubt and unbelief are moved by what they see, but faith is moved by what God says. Yeah. In doubt and unbelief, people are negative. They expect bad things to happen. They look back and want to go back. Some of you guys need to quit saying, I just wish it was 2019. You need to say, oh, thank God it's 2021. Why? Because the new thing that he has for you is in the now. You don't know how bad 2019 really was. 2019 wasn't what you think it was, because 2021 is where God is with you right now. And he's created you for this. It's like, yeah, wipe your tears off. Let's go. Let's do it again. Good. Doubt and unbelief in people looks like griping and complaining, impatient and restlessness. They look for others to solve their problems. The most dangerous believers, I wrote this down, the most dangerous believers are the ones who believe God at the word for themselves. the ones who are convinced that he is that he who has promised will deliver. You guys, if Revive has taught you a whole lot about grace or a whole lot about, but it, this is how you activate it. It's real simple. I get in the Word, and it shows me who God is. There's two things that the Word will always do. It will show you who God is, and it'll show you who you are. There's two things the enemy will always try to do. He'll try to lie to you about who God is, and he'll try to lie to you about who you are. The sooner you can turn out the enemy, take out the keys. Thank you, Jacob. Take out the keys. The sooner you can quit giving him access and agreeing with him, the sooner you can start believing who God says he is, the sooner we all just get out of here and do some fun stuff. That's when, and I'm preaching to the choir, I know, I'm preaching to myself. But as I'm studying this, I'm like, oh, it's God. That's God. It's easy. It's about you and me. It's about you and me. And so now my prayer isn't, God, man, it really would be great if there was like a couple of cancer people that got healed this morning. They wouldn't even care if they missed the Chiefs game if you healed somebody with a broken arm. I'm not worried about that anymore. Now I'm like, God, I know that your will right now is that all people would recognize who you are and what you've done. Man, that your will right now, God, is that people will be reconciled to you. I know that right now your will is that we would see who we are and we would walk in the fullness of this, of the gift of salvation. And in that place, this is a disease-free zone because healing doesn't stand a chance. Why did Pastor Kit say this is a disease-free zone? Because he was determined that we would all be those who know God and who know who God's made us to be. It's not because people who are sick, it's because the sick will recognize who God is, and all of a sudden sickness starts to fall off. It's because you guys recognize who he is, and it's like, man, God, what would you do? What would you do in Emily's life? How do you want to heal? It's not this 12-step process. It's this 2-step process. Believe God for who he is, and believe God for who he's made you to be, and this freaking enemy has no more traction. It's all over. Then everything that God wants to do in your life, he can do from you. You're unlocked. It's almost too simple, right? Man, I just want you to know I got a glimpse of who Revive is tonight. And I would be, you guys can't go back to Sunday morning Christians. Come on. You can't go back to your Sunday morning seat and you're like, I mean, when you're face down on the face, I mean, then you just go back to just raising one hand until it gets tired, and then you raise the other hand. No, you guys are like fully worked out, beefed up. Like, man, you guys realize that if just this group, and some of you guys don't go to our church. That's great. You're about to change your church.
Yeah.
But the whole atmosphere changes the moment that 10, 9, 8, 7, and it's like, wait, you're not waiting for Bryce to say, if you just want to come down front, I just think God's going to do something because you came down front. God's going to do something because you decided that Revive isn't a Tuesday night thing, it's an every moment of everyday thing.
Yeah. Come on.
You want to know why I spend a bunch of time with Emma? Because she's living out Revive.
Yes.
Where is she? Is she up there? She's living out Revive. She's revived when she's posted on social media. She's revived when she's, I see her, never seen a big sister with such an age rift between her and her brothers, and yet the people that she adores the most are her family.
Yeah.
Why? Because she's living out Revive at home. She's living out Revive at work. She's living out Revive, I guarantee it. And it sets you free. And it's like, some of us are like, man, I really like my church, but I kind of still like my sin. That's a sucky life. Just lay it down. Some of us still like the websites we go to, but we love the Word. Some of us still like, well, you know, I just like to watch that show. But you've heard the Holy Spirit say, it's robbing from you.
Wow.
It's sowing unbelief in you. It's like, well, I mean, you know, Nate's on the worship team and he watches it, so it's probably okay. No. The Holy Spirit knows what has a hold on you, and he's setting you free from things that other people, does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's and you, please don't go preach. Nobody can watch the show because the Holy Spirit's doing something in you. That's how personal he is. And we get to this place where it's like, okay, I'm taking the God that I see here on Tuesday nights, and I'm putting a demand on him. Let's be like that Roman soldier. And it's not like, man, I'm done with the testimonies of Revive and Sunday mornings. It's like, oh, the presence is so awesome. I can't wait till people are like, I go to this church. Why? Because it never leaves me. Yeah. Because the presence of God that I experience first here, I experience at home. It's rocked me in my marriage. I've experienced it at work. Some of you guys are called to be evangelists in a place that's not going to welcome your evangelism, but God's got something better after they fire you. If you let go of the fear of fire, of, well, what would they say? You'd be fully unlocked to the fullness of God and the plan that he has for you. But you're holding on to what you know, and we need to cling to who he is. Yeah. I'm not saying you guys need to go try to get fired. But that might be better than the life you're living. Jacob, I'm glad some of your friends aren't hanging out with you. I'd say there's probably more you got to shed. Some of them have chosen not to hang out with you. Others, you need to choose not to hang out with them. Because the Holy Spirit's got something totally new for you. Your story isn't about keeping everything. Your story is about giving everything. Yeah. Surrendering everything. What time is it? Oh, dang. Hey. God, that was not a child care worker that just spoke. Oh, you guys aren't doing your job. You're supposed to be up there like playing with 5 minutes left. Okay, so a lot has been released tonight. I hope that this series, Why Not Me, is unlocking you into God's love for you, is unlocking you into righteousness for you. And I can't wait to hear all of the miracles of you guys just listening to God. Man, I heard God's voice, and he said, do this, and I did that. And it was literally like, buy a case of corn. I mean, it's super simple, but you're super satisfied because you did the thing. I heard the Holy Spirit, and I stewarded the word of the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing is like, man, I shared with that person about Jesus, and they didn't slap me in the face. I've been thinking this whole time, the enemy's telling me, yeah, they're going to spit on you. They never spit on me. Well, it was one of my favorite things about the evangelism panel was like Ashley saying, you know, in all my sharing, and how many know people, Ashley shares with a lot of people about the love of Jesus. In all her sharing, she's like, I think I've only had one person tell me no thank you. Well, that's not what the enemy's told me a bunch. The enemy has told me that they don't have time, that they're too busy, that they're not going to receive you, but that's not the truth. The truth says, hey, that person needs Jesus. And it's like, okay, I know who you are and I know who I am, and they're about to get it. And that's the faith that pleases God. That's the good stuff. You guys, what you did not hear tonight is God doesn't want to heal. God wants to heal, but he doesn't need your pleading to heal. He needs your alignment. You guys hear that? God, we serve a big, huge, huge, huge God. And he's going to use each one of you in individual ways. And you're going to see legs grow out. You're going to see broken arms healed. My arm was just broken, got healed. You're going to see it in your own body, in your own family, and in those around you. And then you're going to start testing it because God's going to say, hey, what about them? And you're going to say, hey, what about them? But you're going to walk in this place where you're like daily saying, God, highlight. And you can do that right now, and it's with your words. And then it's going to be with his power. That's going to happen, but it doesn't happen. The chances of it happening are a miracle outside of you believing him for your righteousness. The biggest thing that Jesus has ever done is restore us into a relationship with Father God. Now we are face to face with God, and the Holy Spirit's in us. Now, if you've heard that message before, God's just kind of trying to deliver it over and over again. You guys have homework. Emma wrote the questions. Andy's up.
We're going to do this really quick because I want you to get your kids. Y'all give it up for Pastor Tim. That was awesome. I want to activate two things real quick, and then I want you to grab your kids. He mentioned healing several times. And so I know, Matt Peake, you need healing for your hip. Is that right? So I'm going to activate a few people if you're around him. You're activated right now to release healing. Because, right, it doesn't have to be difficult. Josh, you've got a word, too, for healing, right?
Today, I was actually like going about the day, everything was fine, and I then just experienced this afternoon, I experienced, it just seemed like a little bit of pain right here on the right side of my chest that I had no understanding why that would even be there. Crazy part was, it wasn't obstructing anything of my business, it wasn't obstructing me and my health, but I just realized, like, man, there's a pain there. Told Andy about it, and actually, even a week or two ago, I was explaining to my Revive group that sometimes, like, through intercessory prayer, I feel like lately the Lord's been revealing a lot of stuff through, you know, just actual physical manifestations or whatever it may be, where I feel like, man, if it's here for me, maybe somebody else is needing prayer for it. So I just wanted to pray over if there's anybody here that may be experiencing similar pains. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you get to pray over prophets. Okay. So before we go, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done tonight. We thank you for the intimacy that you walk us in. We thank you that we have faith to go and move mountains, and we have faith to go and change our sphere of influence. We have faith without putting ourselves in a box, but you blow up our box, Father. So we just thank you for the words that have spoken. We thank you that we are to pursue, and you're not done with us yet, but you're going to give us what we've lost and more. And so we just thank you for all these things, Father, and we seal them tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you all. So pray for Matt. Josh, you got Veronica. There you go.